Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in us. We have got so much to cover. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigative researcher, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we're something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. You know, it's something when the news outpaces the ability to follow it. You remember 9/11? Remember how quickly the news came in on that day? It was like one after another after another. Well, this is what we're looking at in a macro sense. Just the news headlines. Drudge is nothing but a ticker tape. Like, you know, in Times Square, you see the rolling news in Times Square. Well, that's what Drudge has almost become, with headlines, with news blips, with news items. That's what we're facing. And we knew these times would be coming upon us, and in fact, they're here. And this is what we're here to decipher with you, for you, with your assistance. Together, we're going to get through this, that's for sure. And I just want to thank everyone for joining us, whether you're listening to this in the heartland or in California or in the East Coast or in Canada, Mexico, Central America, South America, Europe. We've got listeners everywhere. Just want to say again, thank you so much, because you could be tuned into any number of different programs, and you've chosen ours. We don't take that lightly. We don't take that lightly, nor do we take your presence lightly. Thank you again for tuning in. And a special thanks to those of you who have supported us over the last couple of days, weeks, months. You have no idea, folks, how much that helps. Your financial support has helped. We're growing. We are outpacing our own supply lines in certain respects. In an effort to spread the word all across the world, just to let people know, 111 countries last year, this program people downloaded this program in 111 different countries, 64.5 million downloads on average. And these numbers are difficult to tell now, they're live listens, but tens of thousands listen to this program live on a daily basis. The numbers do fluctuate, for those familiar with, stats on radio, of course. Many are meaningless and many are very difficult to tell, but certainly the projector or the numbers that you see, for example, on YouTube, they don't tell the whole story, which is interesting. Now, the greater the numbers in terms of subscribers, and this is what we're asking everyone to do, is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to like us on Facebook, not because you like us, but because that elevates us and gives us a layer of insulation against the enemy, which the enemy, of course, is the criminal cabal of globalists that are coming after us, and even those amongst us. Yes, even those among us coming after us. So it's so important that we all stick together in this very troublesome time. And, it's kind of an amazing thing. You hit your knees at night or in the morning, or perhaps both, at night and the morning, and you say a prayer. And sometimes it's overwhelming, folks, when you look at things and you see the drama. I mean, things are dramatic right now. Without the necessity of hyperbole, we don't have to really hype anything. You look at it, you look at the news, you look at events, and you think, or at least I think, you know, in my years of living, and more importantly, in the years in the fewer years that I have been paying attention to things and really understanding how things work, I don't think I've ever seen a time where things have been this frantic, this frenzied. I remember one of my the first murder scene I saw that was a frenzied murder, and you know there's a the reason I bring that up is there are distinct characteristics between a frenzied type of murder versus, I don't want to say ordinary murder, but you understand what I mean. There's a frenzy to events taking place. It's got a different feel to it. The investigation, therefore, also, although the standards of investigation don't change, the mode by necessity does change. The certain aspects do change. So what I'm saying to you is, I mean, the basics all in investigation, the basics are the basics, but when you're dealing with this level of intensity, you've got to add triage into the mix. And this is what we do. You know, we could talk all day long about Clinton's son, that he is, his alleged son. And Joe and I were talking about this before the show. You know, how much time do we put into that? Is that even an issue? CNN says, no, that's BS. And, we're not going to, you know, CNN has boycotted any discussion about Danny Williams, the alleged son of Bill Clinton. How important is that? Well, Bill Clinton's not running for office, but yeah, he was, you know, the president. But again,
I think it's worth watching the video he put out yesterday. There is a 6 or 9 minute video of the Clinton son, where he talks about his experience from growing up until now, having kids of his own, and the treatment he received from the Clinton family through those years.
Yes.
It's a pretty interesting story. He was also on Alex Jones today and went a little bit deeper. But the fact that CNN refuses to talk about it, I think it's something worth getting into a little bit.
But, you know, and I'm glad you said it that way, too. It's not something that we, that Joe, you and I say, well, because CNN doesn't talk about it, we are going to talk about it. It's got to stand on its merits as well. Right? I mean, I think we've agreed on that.
And there's been, WikiLeaks has released more emails. They continue to release the emails. And it's been rumored that they have now the 33,000 emails from the State Department server, that was apparently cleaned with that bleach bit. So it'll be interesting to see with those emails coming out. But
right.
And we're going to be covering some of that stuff today, especially there are emails in there about the Clinton camp deleting the emails, which goes against FBI Director Comey's intent theory that he put out there, as well as emails that talk about infiltrating the Catholic Church.
Oh,
and other leaks that expose collusion between journalists.
Tom Horn
and
was right.
Clinton camp.
Tom Horn, Chris Pinto, Steve Quayle, they are correct. Now, this is not an indictment against Catholics. Please understand me when I say this. You're looking at the hierarchy of the Vatican, but you're looking at the infiltration of the Vatican by these communists. Now, Joe, Eric, you should mic up, man. Okay. He said he's going to mic up if we get rowdy, but, what we're seeing is the, I really think the end game of the communists, which are, when we speak about globalists, we're talking about communists, because globalism is a communist system. That's simple as that. And then you've got, of course, the Marxist-Leninist system, and there's a difference between Marxism and Leninism. And we all understand that, but it's all shades of the same color, I suppose. The end game is the same. It's just different variations of that particular operation and end game. Now, this program, we're going to be doing this program, the first two segments, the first hour, of course, we're going to be going over the various news and headlines and analyzing what's important. And, of course, the second part of this, folks, you're not going to want to miss hours 2 and 3. Debbie Bacigalupi is going to be joining us. Debbie Bacigalupi from, now she's an expert on Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Technocracy.news, of course, is the website along with Patrick Wood. This lady is the best, in my view, in our view, she is the best researcher of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development, cap and trade, all of that mix, that toxic mix. This woman is the foremost expert in that topic. Talking with her a little bit today, Joe and I, we were blown away by the depth of her knowledge. She was at the Rio summit, she was
in 2012 in Brazil.
Right. She understands this better than anyone I know. If I was a prosecuting attorney, or if we were prosecuting attorneys, she would be our star witness. That's how important we believe her information is. I'm not trying to build her up, needlessly, but to understand how important this one topic is, because everything hinges upon this Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, sustainable development. Hillary Clinton is the face and the operational key person behind this doctrine of destruction, doctrine of subjugation, of enslavement. Some of the things we're going to be covering here very quickly, I'm just going to give them a rundown. I'm going to toss it to Joe. You got Podesta saying, foul on the emails. Well, what else are you going to say, right? The WikiLeaks, another 1,200 or so additional emails.
And Clinton already confirmed the authenticity of the Podesta emails. I think it was out in a press conference after one of the debates or after a campaign rally she had. So now they're trying to say that this is a Russian hack or a Russian involved hack and intrusion that they're trying to influence the elections. I even heard it on Fox News Radio on the way over here. The story that came out last week about the U.S. intelligence agencies blaming Russia for the leaks, and they continue to push that narrative. And Putin has come out and made some statements. He came out and talked about how the White House was using Russia, basically as a scapegoat to manipulate Americans and the election. And we'll get into some of his comments here.
Folks, you better be watching Russia. Watch what, I mean, we are at the precipice of a third world war, of a global war, Russia versus the United States. And the United States, the neocons within the United States that are running this criminal cabal with Hillary and Obama. Let me tell you something, it's serious. Then, of course, the Clintons are reported, front page of Drudge, fed up with the rape allegations. We need to keep pushing the truth behind this, because Trump may have, Trump obviously was caught with a potty mouth, and there's a big thing about it, but Bill Clinton was actually the perpetrator of what Trump talked about and Hillary covered for him and facilitated. And if I was a feminist or if I was a woman, I would be upset with Hillary just because of the interference that she has been running for Bill and excuses. It's kind of like, Some will equate it to the abused spouse syndrome, abused wife syndrome. It's not that. This is a co-conspirator in criminal activity. That's Hillary Clinton. You've got information coming out about how Sanders was tanked. We knew that. Of course, at the time, everyone was saying, oh, that's just a bunch of BS conspiracy stuff. No, Sanders was the election was stolen from Sanders. To me, that's a good thing. Not the stealing, but Sanders is out of the picture. It's a decent thing that he's out of the picture. How he got out of the picture is troublesome indeed. You've got, of course, the videotape, which was 7 years old. Now it's coming back out where, and I don't know, folks, if you saw this, Obama on the plane during his campaign runs, he had an obvious, tent pole. I don't know how else to describe it. In his dockers. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. And of course, we had a plane crash, a small engine, or a small plane, crash that, there was a suicide or homicide, takedown of a small engine aircraft here as well. The pilot was a Jordanian pilot. In the United States on an M1 visa, crashed a small plane intentionally, killing.
He crashed it intentionally.
Yes, he crashed it intentionally. Yes.
And there were survivors?
Yeah, the pilot, he was a student pilot, and the pilot survived and is in the hospital and said, hey, man, this guy, and I've got his name, I just don't have it right with me, but he's from Jordan, and he crashed the plane intentionally. It was a small, a single-engine aircraft. More on that. You've got HSBC saying, wait a minute, we are in for a severe correction on the stock market. So you've got that coming out. You've got in addition to the economy, you've got the social civil riots coming. You're going to be hearing more about this, where there will be civil unrest, riots taking place all across the country. Of course, we mentioned about CNN ordering a blackout about Danny Williams, Clinton's ostensible son, alleged son. You've got some really odd news. Astrologists getting together to predict the next president. I think that's an obvious exercise in futility. And of course, you've got cases of election fraud all over the United States that are being reported. In all of this, I say this, and I truly believe what we're seeing here is the attempt to cast the doubt of legitimacy on the elections. So if Trump wins the electoral vote, I do suspect that the legitimacy of the elections will be called into question. You've got reports of United Nations troops ready to come into the country, or some already in the country, in the wake of potential election problems. Now, that of course is rumor. Period. All right. Make of that, what you will. And then, of course, you've got, you're going to see clampdowns on the First Amendment as well, especially as we get closer to the election day. You're going to see people that are going to be sanctioned for saying pro-Trump, anti-immigration things, and even to the extent of criminal charges being filed. And I'm just going over these very quickly, and we're going to be drilling down on these. And of course, the United States Navy getting shot at again by Iranian boats. When will it stop? It should have stopped. The first shot should have stopped, yet we're taking on fire. And I heard this, and I think this might have made the news as well. I was in communication with somebody within the FBI working out of the Hoover building. And I can say that. I mean, this person, I know how far I'm allowed to say this, but I can tell you this. They're across the country at the various offices of the FBI. The rank and file members of the FBI are about ready to revolt against Comey and against the criminal elements of the government. And there is a big sentiment saying that Clinton should, in fact, have been indicted for her criminal actions. Not only Clinton, but at least, according to my source, he gave me 12 names. Now, you know probably 5 or 6 of those names, but there's another 5 or 6 that you may not know. I'm going to be writing a report on that here in the next day or two. All of that, folks, tonight on Hagmann and Hagmann Report, and of course, hours 2 and 3. Debbie, and I just, I hesitate when I attempt to pronounce her last name, because it is kind of an interesting last name. It's Bacigalupi. Bacigalupi is her last name. It's spelled a little bit differently. You can check the show description. But she is a foremost expert on Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development and such. And she's going to just bring a lot of information to the table. So get your notebooks out and tell others about the program. Okay, Global Star Radio Network, thank you so much for carrying our program. Of course, that's where we are. Main broadcasting arm of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube Live. Joe, where do you want to go?
Well, let's let's move back to Putin and to Russia, as there are two important stories pertaining to comments Vladimir Putin made and a leaked WikiLeaks email that shows some of the hypocrisy of Hillary Clinton and what she says is a relationship between Donald Trump and Russia, the Russian president, and you know, their conspiracy, in her words, to work together as he is a Russian plant. But the emails show that Hillary Clinton said some things in favor of Putin, even though she had come out and you know, tried to point the finger at Donald Trump, saying he was colluding with her. She has bashed Trump over the same things she is guilty of. Now, Putin has come out, and as I said earlier, talked about how the West and White House has been using Russia to manipulate public opinion pertaining to the election results. And he's saying how the Obama administration dragged Russia into the presidential election, and the talking points related to the email revelation that have nothing to do with the Russian interest. He goes on to say about the document release, about the involvement in cyber attacks and the 2016 election, and what the administration is doing to the people. He says they caused this anti-Russian hysteria with the sole goal to distract the public from the essence of what the hackers leaked. Yep. Putin said in an economic forum in Moscow, referring to the hacking allegations. It's basically a way of manipulating public opinion, but for some reason nobody discusses that. They only talk about who did it. And I agree with Putin. We've said this before, that it's not Podesta saying the emails are altered, and that's only after they threw that talking point out there.
Hey, that's a good idea. Let's go with that. Yeah, that's
and after Hillary already authenticated them, as we said.
Right.
And they say that, you know, he goes on to say how the White House and the Clinton camp is saying that this was in Russia's interest to manipulate the outcome of the election. And he says that there is no Russian interest involved. And in another interview, he talks about how the West has been responsible for the Middle East instability and terrorism in Europe, and how they continue to provide support, the West does, for some of the terrorist operations and the destabilization of the Middle East, citing the Arab Spring in 2011 as a key flashpoint for tension that still dominates the Muslim world. And what he says is, I believe deeply that some of the responsibility for what is happening in the region, and in general in Syria in particularly, lies with our Western powers, above all the USA and its allies, including the main European countries. Putin said, remember how everyone rushed to support the Arab Spring? Where is the optimism now? How did it all end? Remember what Libya and Iraq looked like before these countries and their organizations were destroyed as states by our Western powers, our partners.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to talk about the collusion between the White House and our federal government and terrorism and what is happening in the Middle East. And we're seeing, I mean, we've seen how Damascus has been, you know, almost completely destroyed. There are new pictures of Aleppo as bombings in Aleppo continue to show the vast devastation that those bombings have done in Aleppo. And folks, if you want, there's been some updated stories that, you know, do comparison photos, you know, 30 pictures from Aleppo, you know, then and now. And it's amazing the extent of the damage as hospitals continue to be targets. And, I mean, it's the war-torn region is becoming even more war-torn, if that's possible. And another separate story before we're coming up against this break that does not have anything to do with the email scandal, but does have to do with the Clinton and Obama administrations. How many people remember hearing about this arms dealer who was indicted? Was he indicted a couple weeks ago?
Wait a minute. Which one?
Okay.
Yeah, and people might say, wait a minute, there's more than one? Yes.
Mark Turie.
Yes.
He was, he gave his first television interview since the criminal charges were dropped. He says the administration made him a scapegoat on the Libya operation in order to protect Hillary Clinton and the State Department. And he goes on to say they failed to make him a scapegoat in 2011 to convert weapon program to arm Libyan rebels that spun out of control. He said he was 100% victimized and discredited. He was thrown under the bus to protect the next presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, that being Hillary Clinton, the then head of the Department of State.
Yep.
And we have emails showing
we could write a book on that whole thing.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report. We're up against our top, our first break. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman at the helm, fellow investigator, researcher Joe Hagman, my son, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, broadcasting live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania on the Global Star Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your belief and your trust in us. Together, we will fight the tyranny. We have to fight. We have to take up the mantle. Well, we have to stand up, be counted, be present, and say no, not more, not anymore, not us, or, you know, it's going to be us who are going to bring the battle to you upon bringing the battle to us. Folks, I had a quote here I just wanted to give you. This is something I found light reading, Communist Manifesto, published back in 1848. Lenin said that, where is it here? I was taking some notes, that a national health plan is the arch of socialism. And that's from Vladimir Lenin, 1848, Communist Manifesto. Gee whiz, 1/20th of our economy, or even greater than that. Hillary Clinton, back in 92, attempted to destroy our economy through her Hillary care. Remember that? Now it's Obamacare. Interesting, too, is we're looking at like rats on a ship, except this ship is not sinking. These are just rats. The GOPE people, the GOP's jumping ship off of Trump. And, of course, it's no surprise when you look at who these people are. It's, the globalists within the Congress, the Gang of Eight, the unconstitutional Gang of Eight, of course. And I got a call 2 minutes, actually 45 seconds before going on air, I got a call from a good friend of mine, a veteran, 71 years old. He jumped out of more helicopters than you can count in Vietnam. He said, make sure you tell your audience, and I'm just fulfilling my promise to do so. He's pretty beat up at his age. He's pretty beat up from his service to our country. And he said, you make sure, please do me a favor, please make sure you tell your listening audience, I can't say the word used to describe John McCain, but his ire at John McCain, what John McCain has done against the veterans of this country is shameful, absolutely shameful. It's kind of a side road we just took. But my heart goes out to everyone who served our country with the idea that they were fighting for freedom and got hoodwinked into fighting bankers' wars. Shame on the people in power. Shame on the elected leaders. Shame on all of you. And it's interesting, Joe, and I'm going to turn it back to you, how Hillary Clinton has turned the tables and made out Trump to be this pro-war, bomb the hell out of anyone, any person that walks, when in fact it's Hillary Clinton and her cast of globalists who are out there using the military as their pawns of progressive, I don't even want to say progressive, but they're progressive pawns of globalism against the against countries like Syria, my goodness, and Libya, and for her to have the indignity and the putrid stench of Hillary Clinton when she sat there in that interview. We came, we saw, he died, reference to Gaddafi. He was no good person. But obviously, where's the humanity in that statement? I'll stop there because any more would be a rant.
I want to get into some of the WikiLeaks emails. We mentioned that one or more of these emails talk about infiltrating the Catholic Church, and there's an interesting story that's linked off of Drudge. Podesta and left-wing activists plot Catholic Spring. Longtime Clinton confidant discussed infiltrating the Catholic Church with progressive ideology to foment a revolution. And it's pretty interesting. People are even Donald Trump addressed this subject of the WikiLeaks email leaks, the Podesta emails, and, you know, called for the Clinton campaign members who were involved in this to step down and a apology to be released by the Clinton campaign over what is being discussed in these emails. And these newly leaked emails show Hillary Clinton's current campaign chairman and left-wing activist Podesta casually discussing fomenting revolution in the Catholic Church. In the email, it states there needs to be a Catholic Spring, you know, kind of like the Arab Spring.
Yes.
In which Catholics themselves demand the end of Middle Age dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy and respect for gender equality in the Catholic Church. Sandy Newman, president and founder of the progressive nonprofit Voices for Progress, writes to Podesta in an email titled Opening for a Catholic Spring, Just Musing. The emails were leaked in the third round of releases of Podesta email links by WikiLeaks. And the article goes on to talk more about what is discussed as far as infiltrating the Catholic Church and inseminating this revolution of progressive ideology into the Catholic Church. And we've seen since, you know, before in the last 3 weeks, the running mate for Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine, make a few statements regarding the Catholic Church's position on gay marriage and other social issues, stating that the Catholic Church is going to have to change or it was going to find itself in a battle with a Clinton White House and over its IRS status and other things. So we see in the email leak, it also talks about this being a revolution internally from the bottom up. So what they wanted to do, and they even state an organization they created, Catholics in Alliance for Common Good, was started in order to infiltrate the church with the people to push this progressive mindset and try to change the church's way that they deal with these issues, such as homosexual marriage, birth control, abortions, and this progressive ideology.
But think about this, and those people who were alive and aware back in the 60s, remember how the communists, the today's globalists, the communists, the Bill Ayers of the day back in the 1960s had infiltrated and used the local local Catholic churches. Now, I'm not talking about the Vatican now, as I usually do. Now, I'm talking about local Catholic churches. And this is in this is reflected, of course, in some of the contemporary movies. I'm thinking of Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry movies. You'll see where the RevCom, the revolutionary communists, the communist revolutionaries, had infiltrated many of the Catholic churches back, especially in the larger cities, whether it be New York City or San Francisco, Los Angeles, back in the 60s. The anti-war movement. It wasn't anti-war as it was as much as it was to foment the revolution at the street ground level and to give the imprimatur of the Catholics and using using Catholicism to promote that. So this is today's version of what was going on back in the 60s, and I it shouldn't be lost on people to understand exactly what happened back then. They're ripping a page out of the playbook that they used back then to implement today. So very, very important point on this. But it's even worse now because they've got the facilitation, the cooperation of the Vatican, the higher level, whereas before they really didn't, at least not to the extent that they do today. So watch what's taking place, because you're going to see, and Joe, I mean, you're going to see the local Catholic churches jump on board of this revolution to promote homosexuality, to promote or forgive abortions in the same manner, the revolution style manner, as with the same gusto that they were anti-Vietnam War. Again, I'm talking about limited areas, urban areas. I'm not talking about the entirety of the Catholic Church, just limited areas. But this does have some backing from the Vatican. Go ahead.
Yeah. And right now we're going to get into some other election news. We'll get back to the some of the more important emails that have been leaked and sorted through. There's two stories specific. Well, there's three stories that deal with the election and in different facets around the election. One, the White House says voters should be confident in stability and durability of the election system. Now, this is the same White House that is claiming that, you know, Russia is doing these cyber hacks and you know, releasing these emails in order to influence the election, are saying, this is the same White House that's saying the American people should remain confident in the stability and durability of the country's election system. And this comes on the same day that news from the Pentagon has come out that the Pentagon will join Homeland Security and the FBI in oversight and control of the elections. And right in the beginning of the report here, concerns about Russia hacking into the November 8th elections have now reached the Pentagon, where the military's top cyber official has outlined a plan to help the FBI and Department of Homeland Security to track an election-altering attack. Mm-hmm. So, on the same day, you have the White House saying voters should be fully confident in the election and about the election and its viability and not to be interfered with. But you have the Pentagon joining the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security over deep concerns about the election being altered through cyber attacks, saying that they're going to, you know, become part of, you know, this watchdog group of election oversight. So, you know, they use the excuse of, well, we got to watch out for cyber attacks. And for that reason, we're going to implement the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and now the Pentagon into the election system under the Critical Infrastructure Executive Order that Obama signed a few years back. And on the other side of their mouth, they're saying You know, you don't need to worry about our election process being hacked or interfered with, because we need to be confident in our system, because it's hard to hack, White House spokesman Josh Earnest said during the press briefing today.
Well, he's not totally wrong. You have to understand that.
No, yes, he is.
Well, no, hold on a minute, okay? When
maybe not hard from, it's hard for outside sources to hack, harder than it is for people to.
Right.
I mean, right. Just about anybody with a computer and the know-how can hack any one machine from, you know, that location,
let alone at the local level,
who has access to the machines, can alter or hack the results themselves.
The it's not centralized. For example, it's all done on state and local level. So it's in that respect, it's more difficult to hack. However, the black box voting is open to hacking. So when I say he's not wrong with respect to the level of difficulty, I'm only speaking to the extent that there's no one central repository necessarily connected to the internet. It's more
There's no website that you can hack into to alter the results from all 50 states.
But that doesn't preclude the localized hacking at the state level and the local level, which is done all the time, in addition to tossing. I mean, de Blasio, you saw, folks, hacking is secondary to perhaps the blatant voter ID fraud. De Blasio, I mean, you know, if we... I have to be careful how I say this. Lampposts and rope from these people who are really, as you would put it, throwing our sovereignty under the bus. I mean, de Blasio handing out cards, you know, that Project Veritas had reported on.
Manhattan commissioner for voting talked about how he didn't want his one vote being negated by one, you know, illegal immigrant being bussed around to 10 different locations without voter ID. They talked about the voter ID laws. And one, you know, very valid point, and we've talked about this many times before, is that, you know, you need ID to do just about anything in this country, from driving to even entering buildings in New York City. I mean, you have to show your ID and sign in pretty much just about anywhere you go. You need ID for cigarettes. But for voting, he talks about you don't need ID, and that's by design. Voter ID laws, he goes on to, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, stop that. I mean, they basically say it's discrimination to ask for ID.
That's baloney.
The voting booth. And he says that, you know, there are buses that take these people around, and they vote multiple times in a day. And he also brought up the fact that thousands of absentee ballots show up from undisclosed recipients and not knowing where they came from, and they're thrown in with the rest of the ballots with no questions asked. I mean, it was the first release promised to come out, and the was it James O'Keefe for Project Veritas also said that this was the first of many leaks, leaked videos and other and investigative journalism. And this was the least damaging of those released so far, that they're going to continue to get worse as they are continually released. Now, the UN has come out, and again, we've seen world leaders from different nations come out and talk about the danger of a Trump presidency. Now, the UN human rights chief says Trump as president would pose global danger. The world would be in danger if Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, the top United Nations human rights official said on Wednesday. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zeid Raad al-Hussein, cited Trump's views on vulnerable communities, including minorities, and his talk of
what's his position?
Authorizing torture and interrogations banned under international law as deeply unsettling and disturbing. If Donald Trump is elected on the basis of what he has said already, and unless that changes, I think it is without any doubt that he would be dangerous from an international point of view, he told a news briefing in Geneva, Switzerland. So...
What's his position?
The chief human rights commissioner.
All right. So you've got obviously a Muslim chief human rights commissioner. All right. That's like putting, in my view, putting a pedophile in charge of the
playground.
Yeah.
And this is just one world leader. We saw the former president of Mexico, the president of France, as well as other people calling, you know, for Trump to step down, to saying that his presidency would be a complete disaster and danger to this country. Now, the Republican Party officially endorses Donald Trump, but many of its top members have come out and spoke out against him. One of the more recent and more notable ones is the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who has come out and has been called disloyal because of his abandonment of the candidate Trump. After the videotape that was released about Trump bragging about groping women, which it has now come out that NBC had for months, the media outlet NBC had for months, and had a timed release of this video for maximum damage, which that in itself tells you that shows you some of the collusion between the Clinton campaign and the media organizations. But because of that, this is the reason why some of these Republicans are coming out and abandoning Trump. Now, Trump called them disloyal, and you know, really, it shows you who his enemies are versus who his friends are. But there's been a pattern, if you will, of the kind of Republicans who've been leaving the Trump campaign or supporting the Trump campaign. And you talked about this before the show.
Yes.
Was it the ones who support amnesty and the?
Well, yes. You're looking at the majority of the GOP leaders, the Gang of Eight, and I don't even want to get into it. But if you look at this is so frustrating to me. Okay, when I see these people, these congressmen and senators, the McCains, you can tick them off basically.
Mm-hmm.
They're all establishment Republicans who are bailing on Trump, but not for any. I mean, the reasons they provide are not the reasons which they're bailing. Look, they want
these are career politicians,
right? They want a Clinton presidency. They want a globalist. They don't want anything to upset their
money trains.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know, you look at the net worth of these congressmen when they get into office, and you look at how much they make from their position in Congress or the Senate every year versus their net worth over the years and in the times that they served this country. It's staggering to see. You know, Nancy Pelosi made $200,000 to $300,000 a year, but is worth $100 million. That is the majority of these senators and House members have net worths that are, you know, 10, 100, 1,000 times what they make in a year. And it's all happened in the period of time that they've been in the office that they sit in now. And a lot of that money has to come from private lobbying firms and interest groups for different political purposes, and you know, to benefit their friends. They get basically bribes. They receive the money and they give the access, kind of like the Clinton Foundation. And a couple the last 2 days, there's been stories on HagmanReport.com about the Clinton Foundation and the Haiti earthquake money, as there's $2 billion missing from the Clinton Foundation hurricane or the Haiti earthquake relief fund. And Bill Clinton even had the audacity to come out and ask for donations to Haiti for Hurricane Matthew. And as he did so on Twitter, his Twitter account, you know, just blew up with backlash towards Clinton, along the lines of, well, you know, we'll donate after, you know, the $2 billion reappears in Haiti. Even, Haitian citizens and politicians had come out in protest talking about how, you know, the Clintons had robbed them of that folks, relief money.
We need to keep the pressure on. And as I'm listening to Joe here, go ahead.
And the latest one from today showed how friends of Bill Clinton got special access to Haiti relief efforts and money.
Right.
As a result of their donations to the Clinton Foundations, and that came out in the yesterday's batch of the Podesta email leak.
When I look at the Clinton Foundation pay to play program, you take the emails and you start looking and matching what Hillary Clinton had done as Secretary of State to sell her just to sell favors, if you will, to sell positions, to sell out this country for her personal enrichment. To say that this isn't criminal is a bunch of BS. You've got Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, the heads, the two heads of the biggest American crime family right now, flaunting all of their criminality in your face, laughing at each one of us, and you've got these Hollywood celebrities, these brain dead morons out there who are supporting Hillary and Bill Clinton. And then you've got these, and I've got to say this because a very critical element, especially in the venue in which we operate, are these bloggers, these self-proclaimed Christian or conservative journalists who are attempting to take us down and anyone talking the truth about Bill and Hillary Clinton, or talking the truth about the criminal cabal that exists. You've got this. Everything has intensified over the last 6 months. Trust me when I tell you, the battlefield is, we are entrenched greater, much greater in this battlefield. The bullets are flying at a much greater pace, the metaphoric bullets, that is. You've got attempted takedowns. You've got people attempting to shut us up. And see, this is going to happen to each one of you. The more difference that you make, is the greater blowback you're going to receive, whether it's putting a sign out in your front yard of your home for Trump, or to express your displeasure at the sinful nature and criminal nature of what's taking place. You yourselves are going to see the blowback and feel the blowback, whether it's on a personal level or at your place of employment, at work, or just within the community or neighborhood in general. This is the run-up to this full-out civil war that we talked about back in 2013 and 2012 and 2011. The information I got from my intelligence insider, this was planned. Now it's operational. I said it was operational back then, but you know what? They can't plan, or they can't accurately plan everything. They're not always in control of the timing, are they? So having said all of that, now it's coming. Now we're sounding the alarm bells even louder and stronger. And those of us who said, oh, you're just a bunch of fear porn, fear mongers, well, look around you. You haven't begun to see fear yet, folks. And I know, and we know, of course, fear is, you need not fear with belief in the Bible and belief as Christians, of course. However, the spirit of fear is being cultivated out there. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming back. Expert in Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Sustainable Development, editor at technocracy.news, Debbie Bacigalupi, and I'm so afraid to mispronounce that. I can be right back. Stay right where you're at.